Jonas Knox and Jeff Schwartz in for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up on the show, there is a ton of outrage over the Tim Tebow decision in Jacksonville. Many are not happy. Plus, who needs to wait for the actual schedule to be released in the NFL? We have got leaks, we have got reports, we have got rumors, and we have got a full preview of the NFL schedule release. All of that coming up here on Fox Sports Radio on the iHeartRadio app. It's Jeff Schwartz, Jonas Knox, in for Clay Travis here on Outkick the Coverage.
Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
A three-hour extravaganza, NFL heavy, and we couldn't do it alone here. We've got to have the man himself, the great Jeff Schwartz.
Good morning. Good luck to everyone on the East Coast today trying to find gas. That seems like the most miserable thing ever. We got ours yesterday. I'm not in Charlotte right now, but we got that. We got our gas. Good luck to that. Waking up to the news that there's no gas shortage yet. No one has gas. So good luck to everyone on the East Coast. I'm here to talk about sports and football because football, Jonas, it never ends.
No, it doesn't.
The continued drama. I mean, we might get to Aaron Rodgers again today, because there's so much else to talk about, but that's still going on. We talked about this last week, and I am very excited to be here, and I am very excited to make probably people upset with my Tebow takes, and I'm excited to do so.
Well, and here's the thing. It wouldn't be 2021 on Twitter or Snapface or InstaChat or whatever Belichick called it in his legendary rant several years ago. It wouldn't be NFL on Twitter unless some people got outraged and got very upset by something. And when Tim Tebow was announced that he has signed – well, first of all, this came out during I think it was draft day, that Tebow was – going to possibly be getting a look by the Jaguars, that he was going to possibly try out. And then we didn't really hear much of it. And then all of a sudden, over the past 48 to 72 hours, Tim Tebow reportedly signed a one-year deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he is going to be trying to play tight end. So didn't work as a quarterback, fizzled out, last seen trying to play minor league baseball for the Mets and doing some stuff on the on ESPN when it came to being a college football analyst. So now he's going to give it a go as a tight end. Well, Urban Meyer, his coach potentially in Jacksonville again, he was right. Talking on a podcast yesterday, the Collinsworth podcast, and he had this to say about the potential signing of one Tim Tebow.
Yeah, we have not signed Tim. There's a thought going around. You know, he was in the best shape of his life, asked to see if he could work out with a couple of our coaches. I wasn't even there. And they came back to me and said, wow, this guy's in incredible shape. And I said, then I went another time and watched him try him out. And they said, go work on these things. He comes back later. They try him out again. I'm not there. And they come in and they said, wow. You know, this guy's ball skills. He's a great athlete. He looks like he's 18 years old, not 20, whatever he is, 33. And I said, guys, you don't understand. Now, this guy is, you know, he's the most competitive maniac you're ever going to talk to. And let's give it a shot. And I have not decided if we're going to do that or not yet. I'm getting close. I got to make a decision here pretty soon.
So there it is. Urban Meyer talking about a potential reuniting with Tim Tebow. I mean, a lot of outrage out there. People upset about the opportunity being granted to Tim Tebow. So here you go. Here is the sword is yours. Go ahead and take a shot at Tim Tebow, if you will, Jeff Schwartz.
Well, it's really early for best shape of my life NFL stories. Like I'm ready for these sort of like end of July, early August. You know, the veteran is his best shape of his life and he's ready to play. But Jonas, if I tell you this, if the headline was the Jacksonville Jaguars sign 33-year-old converted quarterback to play tight end after being out of the NFL for 8 seasons, what would we do? We would all laugh at Jacksonville and say they don't know what they're doing. Would you agree if that was the headline?
Yeah, kind of a puzzling decision to say,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, the puzzling decision. So we view it with that lens of, hey, any team that said the Kansas City Chiefs sign a 33-year-old converted tight end who hasn't played in the NFL for 8 seasons to come to training camp. We go, I don't know if they know what they're doing. And with Jacksonville now, this adds up with a lot of things. Urban doesn't even know what to do, right? Hire a strength coach, had to fire him, really had to resign. Chris Doyle had to resign a day or two later. He drafted Travis Etienne in the first round, said he's a third down running back. That's what we're doing there? Third down running back in the first round? And now he's signing Tim Tebow, supposedly. Jonas, I'm going to break down every reason why I've heard to sign Tim Tebow, and they're all just utter BS. I don't know what words I cannot say on terrestrial radio.
A load of crap. Yeah, you can't say the S word, but crap.
Okay, I'll just say BS.
Crap rolls off the tongue, I think, a little better than the S word to begin with.
Okay,
to be
honest. So we'll say BS. Okay, so. All right, he's a great athlete. He deserves the opportunity because he's such a good athlete. Well, I mean, at 23, he's 33 years old. And his numbers for a tight end aren't anything great. They're about middle of the road for a tight end. And now you have him playing 8 years later. And I don't know how this is supposed to help your team be better. I don't know how he's going to make the roster physically, moving to a new position that requires a whole different skill set than it did at quarterback, which he couldn't do in the NFL as well, right? Like, he had the opportunity to make this change 8 years ago and didn't do it. So physically, the idea that he's a superior athlete in college, yes, he's one of the greatest college football players of all time. There's no doubt about that. But that doesn't make you a good NFL player. We see this throughout the history of college football and the NFL. That does not make you a great NFL player because you were great in college. Different skill set in the league. You have to be able to adapt and to change your game. He never did that, right? He never did that in the NFL. And part of that was the Broncos enabled him by running that crummy offense they ran for the time he was there. Do you know he also only played 3 seasons? We talk about him like he's a mythical beast that played 15 years in the NFL and is a Hall of Seasons, 3 seasons. He made it in training camp. He did not make it out of training camp 2 years after he played in 2012. So, like, the idea that he's like some creature of mythical proportions returning to the NFL after being like a stud. 3 years.
It's like the Josh Gordon stuff. Everybody talks about Josh Gordon like he was Jerry Rice, but 6'7". And it's like, dude, he had 1 year. What are we talking about? And that was 2012.
He started 16 games in his entire career. 16 games. Okay. Here's the other stuff this is the part that's very important. And if you listen to the ex-NFL player I've been in 6 locker rooms, played for 9 years. I'm in Dallas right now helping out my buddy. He trains NFL offensive linemen. I'm around NFL players all the time, right, Jonas? So the idea that he is a great leader and therefore is brought in to help lead this team, right, and to help Urban's culture out is I can say crap, right? It's crap, okay?
Yes.
It's just not at all. It's fantasy land. It's what you hope things happen. It's a movie. It's not NFL locker room is not a movie, okay? The guys that we follow are good at football. And the guys that we follow make NFL rosters. And the guys we follow, and look, they might not be a Hall of Fame player, right? Like Josh McCown is a great example of a leader, I think, that's not going to make the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, okay? But guess what? Josh McCown's been in the NFL for 20 years, okay? Obviously, he's good enough to play and start and be a backup and do all those things. Fitzpatrick, obviously, is the same way. But most of the time, the guys that we gravitate to in the NFL are good at their jobs and also happen to be good leaders, right? They lead by example and they lead by the play on the field and all that, right? And Tim Tebow walking this locker room, Trevor Lawrence was like 8 years old when Tebow was good at Florida. He didn't care about Tim Tebow. Doesn't care about him. And now he's going to stroll in as a 4th-string tight end and be like, hey, guys, I'm the leader here. 4th-string tight end. Follow me. No one's going to follow him. No one's going to respect him because he has to show on the field he earns that respect before people want to follow him into what? I don't understand what they're following him for, his leadership. Oh, guys, he knows Urban's system. He last played for Urban in 2009. What are you guys talking about? 2009. That's 12 years ago. Did you watch Urban's system at Ohio State? It looked nothing like he did in Florida. What are we talking about? Is the 4th-string tight end going to go tell Trevor, he's going to skip his tight end meetings and go into Trevor Lawrence's room and be like, hey, Trevor, here's how you run this offense. No! No, he's not going to do that. And the offense they're going to run is nothing like he ran in Denver or in Florida. Like, I all these reasons I keep hearing are just a load of crap. They're nothing at all with the reality of the NFL. It's Urban Meyer hooking up his buddy for this reason, I think. I've come to this conclusion. NFL pension. And I don't know why he's NFL pension, but he needs three games this season to qualify for the NFL pension. He is 34 years old or 33 years old. I mean, I think he'll be 34 at some point this season. And he's in NFL year four. That's his free agent status, basically, right? And you need 3 years and three games, and three games counts as a season toward pension. So 3 years and three games to get the NFL pension. And I think that this is a play. Urban's hooking up his buddy with the pension. I don't know why, Jonas, but like that's the only conclusion. It's all these other reasons make no sense whatsoever.
Can I be honest with you? Yeah. Pension would have been last on a list of things I would have thought of would have been the go-to, but I'm into it. Let's do it. Let's start the controversy.
Jonas, I don't know why. Like, I just laid out all the reasons why this makes no sense. Okay, here's one more here. Ready? He's a distraction for Trevor Lawrence. If Trevor Lawrence needs a Tim Tebow distraction to get ready to play for the season, you've chosen the wrong quarterback. I personally do not think Trevor Lawrence needs a Tim Tebow distraction. Everything should be put, all resources should be put into propping up Trevor Lawrence. He is the face of your franchise. He's the reason why people are coming to your games. I want to meet the fan who otherwise says, you know what, I'm not going to come to a Jacksonville game. But you know what? Tim Tebow's on the roster. Now I'm going to come to the game. I'm going to come to the third preseason game. There's three now. And I'm going to watch Tim Tebow play the fourth quarter. Otherwise, I wouldn't show up to the game. Like, who is that fan? Please, I don't know the phone number here. Please, that one Jacksonville Jaguars fan who's showing up to the game, not excited for Trevor Lawrence, not excited for Urban Meyer. They actually have a decent roster. Not excited for any of the players on the roster. But here's Tim Tebow. I want to watch him play the fourth quarter of a meaningless preseason game. And therefore, I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan now. Like, the making money, the ticket sales thing. I don't believe any of it. Now you have a guy in Trevor Lawrence who there's going to be more cameras at training camp now because you have crossover here, right? You have entertainment networks that are going to come and film practice now. You're going to have Trevor Lawrence is going to have practice number one in the books, right? And guess what the first question is going to be? Hey, how's Tim Tebow today?
Of course.
How's Tim Tebow today?
Of course.
Like, why does Trevor Lawrence have to talk about Tim Tebow? That's not at all helpful to him. Not at all helpful to him. Not at all helpful to have a freaking zoo at practice every day, seeing the four-string tight end catch a pass from some quarterback who's not making the roster. Like, this does not at all help Trevor Lawrence one bit. I don't get it. The reports yesterday that not all coaches are in on this. Duh. Why would they want to be in on this circus? But if he makes the roster, Jonas, it's because of the pension. It's not because he can play. There's no way he's making the roster. You have a shortened training camp now with less practice time, with less preseason time. Are you telling me this guy hasn't played football in 8 years and going to come in and play tight end, which he refused to do 8 years ago? Now all of a sudden he's chasing his dream. Well, he could have chased his dream 8 years ago and switched positions like everyone told him to do when he failed the quarterback and he didn't want to do it.
Yeah, well, the whole he's here to sell tickets thing, that ship has sailed because the Mets tried that with minor league baseball. They brought in Tim Tebow and, you know, some people are like, why are they bringing him in? It's like, well, it's minor league baseball, man. Minor league baseball does weird stuff. Yes. They've always done weird stuff. You've got these gimmicks, guys dressed up like a rodeo clown and then slams heroin on the pitcher's mound. Yes. Like, they do weird stuff to try and sell tickets. So you brought in Tim Tebow because you want to generate some buzz. That buzz is gone. So that's not there anymore. And you mentioned the likelihood that he makes a roster. And we can get into, are you upset? Like, I'm not upset about this. I don't care. Like, Tim Tebow being signed by the Jags or not getting signed, the odds are out. You can actually bet on this, which is just a wonderful world that we live in, that you can bet on whether or not Tim Tebow makes a roster in Jacksonville in 2021. And Fox Bet has the odds. And the odds are Tim Tebow to make the roster, and it's a minus 300 on the no, which means he's a 3-1 favorite to not make the roster, Tim Tebow. So I'm not going to get upset by it.
Minus 3,000?
Minus 300.
Okay.
Minus 300. So you got to lay 300 bucks to win 100 for Tim Tebow if he doesn't make the roster, which means a heavy favorite to not make the roster.
I'm not going
to
make that bet right now.
I mean, yeah, I don't think it's happening. I don't think he's making the roster. And I just, I don't see, This to me, and there were some people saying, well, why should Tebow get an opportunity? Well, the same reason that a lot of guys in the NFL get opportunities and that a lot of coaches in the NFL get opportunities. It's all about who you know. He knows Urban Meyer. They have a relationship, obviously. And so it's similar to why people thought maybe Alex Smith would be a potential backup for Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville because his relationship with Urban Meyer, because he coached him back at Utah.
But Alex can actually play football.
I get it.
And that's a big part of it. I'm not like ill and physically upset like with all like this stuff like some people are. I think I'm mocking Jacksonville for this, and you know Tim Tebow keeps falling upwards for some apparent reason. And you know, to me, look, I'm with you. I don't really buy the argument that he's taking a roster spot from someone else. I mean, if you can't make the roster and you get beat up by Tim Tebow, that's a problem. Yeah, I will have a problem if this pension thing happens where it's clearly he's not good enough and they keep him on the roster or put him on injured reserve to get him his pension year. I think a lot of people have, again, like an issue with this whole concept of, you know, that Tim was unwilling to change positions 8 years ago. And now all of a sudden he's coming back. Like to me, like I kind of feel like, you know what, man, like, to me, I don't know. There's something going on with him where he needs to be like in this locker room setting, right? Because like to me, like, dude, just you're it's okay to be done playing sports, man. Like you're just done with it, right?
What do you think it is? Are you trying to make some allegations here against Tim Tebow? Is that where you're going with this?
Allegations of what?
What he's got to be in a locker room for what? What do you think he's like?
I think he just likes the fellowship of being in a locker room. What do you think?
I'm just kidding. Is he like going top shelf in the bathroom when guys he's like playing shenanigans?
No, I don't think. No, he's a great leader, right? He would never do that. So he's a hard worker, and that's the thing too, is like this whole idea of he's a hard worker. He's like, the minimum requirement to play in the NFL is working hard. Like the idea that and this is what I'll tell you exactly. This is the one personal thing about this whole thing is I hate this idea when people say, oh, he's a hard worker and therefore X happens, right? Because look, the minimum requirement in the NFL is to be a hard worker, okay? And when you say like, oh, Tim Tebow's in the best shape of his life, oh, he's a hard worker, well, that implies that he makes the roster or he gets the opportunity because other people don't work as hard as him. And that's just plain not true, right? That's just not true. And a lot of what happens in the NFL, and this is personal because I was injured so much in the NFL. And so I kind of think the idea of hard worker is the reason why you made the NFL. Well, I worked my butt off too. I wish I didn't break my leg three times. Like I wish I didn't dislocate my toe or have hip surgery. Like none of those things happened because I didn't work hard enough, right? And so that's where I take a problem with this idea that he's a hard worker. Well, guess what? Everyone's a hard worker in the NFL. You don't play in the NFL. You don't make a roster and play for a long time if you're not a hard worker. Like that whole concept of like, oh, he's a hard worker. Well, guess what? We all hard workers. Like you work hard, I work. Like the idea that you can't be successful in careers unless you don't, unless you quote unquote work hard. So that's just another BS about this whole thing.
And now, do you think he's going to get Gardner Minshew's number? Like, I can stand for a lot, but if he gets Minshew's number, I'm going to be
pissed. He should pay.
Give him 10% of his pension that you think he's getting off of this. Like maybe give Gardner 10% of his pension moving forward. Maybe that's the move. If you want that number, how bad do you want it? Give up your pension, Tim Tebow. The pension aspect of this, I don't think anybody has said.
We've talked a little bit on social media. Some of the people are kind of trying to figure out why this is happening. It's not something that But this feels like the only plausible reason.
That's funny, man. All right. He is Jeff Schwartz. I'm Jonas Knox. In for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. The whole crew is here, minus Clay. Danny G. We got Eddie Garcia in the house, Roberto, and we've got Dub, who's in Nashville. And we're going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time here on Fox Sports Radio. All right. Coming up next, though, Jeff, we have got ourselves a huge day in the NFL, and it is a day that's been looked forward to for a long, long time. We will break it all down for you next here. It's Jeff Schwartz, Jonas Knox, in for Clay Travis. Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Coming up, we will be getting into a big-time day in the NFL. It is a day many people have been looking forward to for a long, long time. I'm going to say actually about 2 years. This has been going on 2 years that this is a day people have been looking forward to. So we'll have that for you here coming up in just a couple of minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. A lot of outrage over the Tim Tebow potential signing for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Many people are trying to figure out what this is all about. We've heard everything from the race factor to why can't Kaepernick get an opportunity? Why does Tebow deserve a job? He's going to take a job from somebody else. The betting odds would say he's not going to make a roster. And then right when you think you heard it all, Jeff Schwartz drops the bomb to open up the show here on Fox Sports Radio and says that Urban Meyer is trying to hook him up so he can get his pension if he plays 3 games this year. So, hey, man, I'm into it.
I mean, it's not a scandal. I mean, we've talked about this for a couple of days on Twitter. I mean, it just hasn't been like the number one story. But I mean, again, like, look, obviously I play 8 years NFL. I get the pension when it shows up, and my pension is going to be good. When you play long enough, right, you have invest all the money in it. Like when I'm 65, I'd be great when I take it, when I use it all. I feel like Tebow, he makes like $100,000 to go talk, right? I don't know that he needs the NFL pension plan to go back and play football. I mean, look, I feel personally for myself, like I am very, what's the right word? But I'm happy that I knew when it was time to be done with playing sports, right? Like I knew, and I've had no problem with it. I knew my last year in Detroit, that was it. I was done. My body was done. Mentally, I was done. I wanted to be with my family. My family was definitely over it. My wife was definitely over it. And I was ready to be done. I feel very fortunate that I knew I was done with team sports, and I still play with basketball the weekends when we used to, the gym used to be open and whatnot. I still play some of that. But
first of all, sorry to interrupt. You're showing videos of taking a slide step. All right, you're making a comeback.
I'm in doubt. Yeah. You should listen to that with the volume on. Hear what I said afterwards. That was very painful for me to do. But like I knew when it was time to be done playing team sports. Look, no one's going to sign me anyway. So it was kind of like a mutual thing, right? Like, no one's going to sign me. Plus, I knew that I was done. It wasn't, but I knew heading into my ninth year I was done, and I tried to make it through, and it didn't make it. But like I do kind of feel a little bit sad's the right word. I don't really care, but like dude, it's done. Like it's team sports are done for you. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Continue to do this, and people say, well, he's giving up his TV. He could not. He's not really. He's still doing TV. Like this idea that. It also has bothered me about this. There are a lot of things, the way we talk about Tim Tebow. But, people say, well, he's pursuing his dream. Well, wasn't his dream baseball? That's what I was told. It was football first. It was baseball. Now it's football again. And he's not giving up his TV job to do this. Remember, when he signed with the Mets, they worked out a deal where he could still do TV on the weekends.
Yeah.
Like he's not giving up anything.
He was still doing college football commentary for ESPN. In fact, I think he still has that gig where he's doing college football commentary, if I'm not mistaken, for ESPN.
So like I just don't. I really, he's given a sacrifice. What does he sacrifice? He's working out. Like I work out every day. You know what I mean? Like I don't. So like the idea. So I just. We talk about again. We talk about him like a mythical creature. Some like, and I just. I wish we'd be honest about what's happening right now. I mean, maybe it's the pension play. Again, the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I just there's a couple of different reactions to have. Why is it being done? Why does he need the opportunity? That's part of the conversation. The other part of it is, people are upset about it. And plus the Tebow topic is always a big deal. You just mentioned the name Tebow back in the day on sports radio, and the phone lines lit up because everybody had an opinion about it. A lot of it had to do with religion. Some people felt he was overrated. All I know is this. I have heard from multiple people, right? Multiple. And by the way, the pension thing, can I also get a pension from the NFL if I've worked with enough NFL players doing radio? Like, does that also apply to me? Because I'd like to get some of that pension if that's a possibility. How much time do I have to have on the air in order to get a pension from the NFL doing shows with former NFL players? Because I feel like I'm getting close.
You should do it. You should do it. I mean, okay. We are very bright and intelligent, and I know that you know we can sometimes carry the show, but otherwise.
But we work so hard, Jeff. We work so hard.
You're up at 3 a.m. on the West Coast. You're a hard worker, man.
I know. Why can't everybody celebrate me like TiVo? Come on, Urban, give me an opportunity.
You're a hard worker, right? You're passionate. This is your dream.
Right.
This is you're following your dream right now. Like, we talk about this guy. Like, I don't get it. I just, and I know there's a little bit of the religion part of this. I'm not really going to touch that, but like, the way we talk about him, man, it just blows my mind.
It's amazing. I'm telling you, it's one of those things that for whatever reason, it just always. It was a hot button topic. It always and to see it come back all these years later and a potential comeback for him playing tight end or whatnot. And like I said, there are some people that are mad, some people that are confused by it, some people that are just here for the chaos. I'm personally in the latter. I think this is hilarious just seeing how this all plays out. I don't think he's going to make the roster. So if you are a fan of gambling and you are a fan of Tim Tebow's, I would go on Fox Bet and try and find that line. Right. It's a minus 300. Have you already made the bet?
Well, I have a gambling show tonight. We're doing a live show after the schedule release for Fox Sports. And it should be streamed everywhere you want to get it, whether Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We might be in FS1. I'm not quite sure yet. But we need to have one. We've been told assignment before tonight's show. We have to pick one season-long prop to choose. This might be mine. I might just do it. I might just spend the last 3 minutes of the show just ranting about Tebow.
It's not
a radio show. Tim Tebow not playing the NFL minus 300.
First and foremost, I got to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
By the way, that was Danny G beating traffic on the way into the studio today. So at least there's gas
in Southern California. So.
that is a good point. It's $7 a gallon, but at least we got it.
I'm surprised Danny showed his face today with the Giants having the best record in baseball. Right. I didn't know he was going to show up today.
We're not here to start knocking on coffins.
Wait till hour two with that, Jeff.
That's just come on. Let's play nice here for a little bit. Jeff Schwartz, Jonas Knox, in for Clay Travis here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, coming up next, it is a big day, a day that many people in the NFL and many fans of the NFL have been looking forward to. We will have that for you next.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
In for Clay Travis, he's Jeff Schwartz. I'm Jonas Knox. Coming up here in, we'll call it 12 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio, we are going to look back. We are going to look back and we are going to find out where everybody on the show was the last time Tim Tebow played for Urban Meyer. Right? A little, I don't know if hot tub time machine, or we can just look back and see how much things have changed for everybody on the show the last time Tim Tebow was a member of Urban Meyer's football team. So that'll be happening 12 minutes from now. NFL schedule release is here. The NFL has done a brilliant job, Jeff, over the past several years of sort of spacing this stuff out to where you always have something to look forward to, whether it's the combine or the draft or the schedule release. And now there was a report from Sports Business Journal, I think a few days ago, that said that the NFL is going to move the schedule release to this time of year permanently. So they did it last year because of COVID. Now they're going to be doing it this time of year permanently, which I think is smart because you give the draft its own time. We're now a couple of weeks away from the draft, and now you drop the schedule out there. As a former player, when you see this, and obviously you're going to be doing stuff for Fox when it comes to the schedule release later on, but how do players, when the schedules comes out, because I'll give you the idea from the fans' perspective, because I can remember this going through it with buddies of mine when we would wait for the schedule to come out, but as a player, what does today mean to you guys, and what are the conversations like when you get your schedules?
Well, it definitely makes the season feel more real, right? That it's coming up when the schedule, even though you know your opponents, it feels real. But if you had to guess what the first thing players look for in the schedule, what would you guess? And everyone can chime in. I'd love to get everyone's opinion on this. Like, what would you guess the first thing players look for when the schedule comes out?
Bye week.
You nailed it already. Jeez, you must know already.
I told you. Because I told you. This is why I need a pension. I work with too many NFL players. That's why.
Bye week, 100%. We look for the bye week.
Tebow, though. Tebow works hard. He's looking for the longest stretch of games without a bye week.
For sure. He's looking like, when can I get the most work done? But, you know, for him, bye week, like for the rest of us, bye week is rest and recovery and, you know, a mental break and a physical break. For him, it's no bye week. No days off, every day working out, grinding to the max, going for his dream. No one's going to tell him no. Jeez. So the reason we look for the bye week is many things. I know, obviously, it's fun to laugh. Oh, NFL players don't want to play. That's not why. In the bye week is physical break, duh, but it's a mental break, man, right? Because you're grinding through the season. You have training camp. You play the regular season. Every day is worried about, you know, preparing the best you can for that day or for that week. The physical toll on your body, again, mental toll of preparing, the stress, anxiety, nervousness of each week, of each game, of each Sunday or Thursday or Monday, whenever you're playing. And the bye week just allows a mental break of that, right? Where you don't have to worry about the opponent or game planning and how your body feels and what rehab you have to do and how do you have to prepare. And look, you also get to hang out with your family for once. You get like a little bit of family time. And you hope the bye week is in the middle of the season, kind of weeks now. I guess there's 18 weeks, but week 8 through 11 probably is when you hope your bye week is. And you just get away. I mean, I before COVID, and you were allowed to kind of leave the facility for bye week last year. No one was. I mean, I was on vacation. I went to Turks and Caicos one year for bye week. I went to the Bahamas another week. Like, I got away, man. I got totally away from football. And you come back so refreshed, so excited to play. Your body feels great. You're mentally, you're ready for the rest of the season. And that's why it's important. It's not because we don't want to play football. It's just because you need to get a mental break off from the season. And this is the first time. And look, and this is going to be very old man on my lawn thing, or get off my lawn thing, but practice is easier now. There's no doubt about it. So back when we were hitting a little bit more in practice, just the idea of not having to go full pads on Wednesday and hit each other after playing a game on Sunday, it just felt so good. Like, to not have to, you spent all this time in training camp hitting each other, and you spent all this time in the season hitting each other and playing games on Sunday. Just being like, waking up on Monday morning of bye week and be like, oh, don't have to hit anyone this week. And our bye week used to practice during bye week. Oh, you have to practice like Wednesday and Thursday. You used to get like the only Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. Now, mandatory 4 days off, I believe. So it just the mental break, Jonas, of just everything is why we look for bye week.
No, and I've heard that is, and if you see the bye week in like week 5 or 6, players are pissed. Like, come on, man. Like, we don't need it then. We need it middle of the season or later on in the season. That's when it's actually a benefit.
Yeah. Again, you want it to be, in my opinion, a little bit, you get week 8 through 12-ish, right? Because you want to have that break in the middle of the season. Tampa last year took advantage of their late bye week. Remember, Tampa had a bye week in week 12.
I don't remember a team having a bye week that late ever.
And then came back and didn't lose a game. Yeah. So it could be very beneficial.
Yeah, it was. I remember having that conversation. I think it was them and Carolina had a bye week, and was it week 13? I think it was week 13.
Who, last year?
Tampa Bay. I think it was week 13. 14, 15,
16, 16. So it was week 13 because they played 4 weeks, won all 4 games, and then went to playoffs and didn't lose. So that's how it was.
So we will be, and you are going to have, you've identified your top games, your top games to look forward to, and we are going to get to that here coming up top of next hour, the NFL schedule release extravaganza. So that'll be coming up here. Coming up next, though, Jeff Schwartz, Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis here on Fox Sports Radio. Where were you the last time Tim Tebow played football for an Urban Meyer team? We will give the big reveal as to where we were, and we'll have it for you next year on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now here on FSR, Jeff Schwartz has identified his top games of 2021. It is schedule release day in the NFL. All sorts of excitement, so we'll have that for you here. Top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now on FSR. So, Jeff, you had mentioned the last time Urban Meyer played for Tim Tebow was 2009.
Other way around. Tim Tebow played for Urban Meyer.
I'm sorry, yeah. If you think about it, I mean, actually, you know, the way it's talked about, I mean, there could be a possibility, but you are correct. So the last time Tim Tebow played for Urban Meyer was 2009.
Yes.
And it got me to thinking. So where were you back in 2009? All right. So since it's been so long, and we're talking 12 years since that 2009 and technically 2010 because their final game was a bowl game on January 1st. But same thing. Where were you December/January of 2010, Jeff Schwartz, the last time Tim Tebow played for Urban Meyer?
I was making my first NFL starts. I had my first three starts at the end of the 2009 season. We played the Vikings, Sunday Night Football. My offensive coordinator was terrified. He changed the entire game plan to protect me at right tackle. It was a lot of fun because I knew that I'd be protected. And then we went up to MetLife. Old Meadowlands to play the Giants. It was their last. How about this? It was their last home game. Giants' last home game. We won 41-9. Jonathan Stewart had like 275 yards. So I played the last. There's a Panther, the Carolina Panther. I played the last Giants home game in 2009, and then we opened up the new stadium in 2010. We were the last
oh, wow.
game, and then we lost the first game at MetLife, and then we played the Saints to end the season in 2009. That was the year they won the Super Bowl. They just had like Mark Brunell play the whole game. It was a waste of a time, but that was it. I was even living in my little rented condo in Uptown Charlotte. You know, my wife and I, we were together at that point. We've been together over a year. You know, just living the dream, man. No kids. Just
do whatever
just
the hell you want. Just whatever the hell you want.
I thought about that before. My wife and I, I'm like, what do we do before kids, like on the weekends?
Whatever you wanted.
I guess so. Whatever. I don't. But what was that? I'm like,
I was in a hotel in Alabama because I was working at a station in Charleston, South Carolina, and we drove to Birmingham to cover the Papa John's Bowl between South Carolina and UConn.
As
the last
does.
Time, yeah,
was that Dan Orlovsky, UConn? No, that's too late for Dan.
No, I don't think so. But regardless, South Carolina thought they were big stuff because, man, we're the SEC. We're not going to lose to UConn, this Big East team. And UConn went out there and absolutely knifed them in that game. And just to see the look on SEC fans when they're getting their brains beat in by UConn, who had like 13 people there to travel to watch the game in miserable Legion Field, the biggest dump I've ever been to in my life to see a football game in. That's where I was the last time.
You were covering it for who?
For South Carolina.
Okay, yeah. So 20-7 was the victory for you. That's going to 7 points against UConn. Ooh, yikes.
Yeah, it was bad.
UConn was in the Big East at that point.
Yes.
MVP of the game was running back Andre Dixon. Ooh, Ron Cherry was the official. He's the guy that said the giving him the business, right?
Was that him?
I think it was.
Yeah.
I mean, giving him the business.
Yeah.
And that's Ron. That's Ron Cherry. So. Oh, wow.
All I know is that we were there for work, and I got there, and I just looked at the other guys I worked with and just said, hey, man, I'm drinking. I can't deal with this. And so I started drinking beers. Not professional at all, but I was just, it was cold, and I could just tell this is not going to be a lot of fun. And that's where I was, 2009/2010 for
yeah,
Tim Tebow.
I'm looking at, pregame buildup. Let's see. So yeah.
Yeah, it was a bad one. It was really bad. Eddie Garcia, where were you 2009, 2010 last time Tebow played for Urban Meyer?
Well, this is going to blow you guys away. I was right here.
Yeah, Eddie, you've been at Fox Sports Radio the longest, correct?
Yes.
I think you've been here longer than anybody.
It's a debate between Ben Maller and myself because he started from day one, but he also got like a break for a year. And I started like a year later, and I've been here. I've had no breaks. God willing, I won't have any more breaks, but yeah.
Danny G, where were you 2009, last time Tebow played for Meyer?
I was living in Woodland Hills, California with a high-maintenance woman. Shocker. I was commuting in to do mornings. I was doing morning radio and programming a hip-hop station I started for the 661 area code. 109 The Heat. My weekly club night, Jonas, was at the Purple Martini.
Oh!
Dressed to impress positive party people only.
Oh, man. Wow, man. What a great name for a bar. Roberto, where were you last time Tebow played for Urban Meyer?
Working in radio for the fifth year, working in radio when I was my second year of marriage, man, and and drinking like a maniac.
I think Dub must have been doing the same too.
Yeah, Dub, what were you doing?
I was a sophomore in high school trying to hate Mr. People for beer and cigarettes.
Tim Tebow was much better.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.